Hello and welcome to today's Heathrow SP Limited call on the results for the 9 months ended 30th September 2015. Throughout this call, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question and answer session. Please remember, this call is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to pass you over to Michael Uzielli, Chief Financial Officer. Michael, please begin.
Okay, thank you, Hugh. Hello, everybody. I'm Michael Uzielli. I'm the Chief Financial Officer of Heathrow, and I'm joined here today by Andrew Effiong and Anne Hearn. What I'm going to do in the next sort of 15 to 20 minutes or so is just take you through the operational highlights, financial performance, and our strategic agenda. Obviously, this is our nine-month results, following on from our half-year results in July. I will be very happy, all of us will be very happy to take questions at the end. I just want to remind those of you following remotely that you can view the presentation through the link on the invitation or directly on our website. So moving swiftly on to slide three, I think the theme is around continued strong performance in 2015, operationally, financially and strategically. Passenger numbers continue to grow, with traffic up 2.3% for the 9 months to 56.9 million passengers. That's a record. And we've had some of our busiest days ever, with five separate days where we've had over a quarter of a million passengers leaving the airport. And so previously we'd never had as many as a quarter of a million passengers on one day. And what's really good is that we've managed to continue to hold high levels of operational performance, with service quality, which I'll come on to, continuing to be well ahead of our European competitors. So we are the best major airport in Europe, and we have aspirations to push on and become the best major airport in the world. Our financial performance has continued to be strong, with growth across all revenue streams, good cost control, and we are starting to see more of the benefits of the efficiency that we've been delivering. So revenue's up 4.1%, costs actually down slightly in Q3, but broadly flat once you take into account the year-on-year effect of new buildings, such as Terminal 2, Terminal 3 baggage facility, which came on stream in April of this year. And then consequently, EBITDA continues to grow, which is a rise of 4.4% to 1.224 million. There is a slightly slower growth this quarter in the second half of the year, as we flagged at the first half, for various reasons around the year-on-year comparison, but 4.4% up EBITDA growth so far year to date. And from a funding perspective, we've had seen continued strong demand for investment in Heathrow, with over £1.2 billion raised globally this year in both the public and the private markets. We're making good strides in developing our service culture, and as I said, driving cost and revenue benefits. And one of the big changes we've made on the cost side is that we've secured improvements to the terms of our final salary defined benefit pension scheme. This has reduced costs whilst keeping the scheme open for our 3,600 existing members. And all this good progress, strategic and operational, does stand us in good stead for expansion. So turning on to slide four on traffic growth, we have seen, as I said, strong traffic growth. Airlines have been continuing to create additional capacity, both through larger planes and also more seats per plane. In our short-haul traffic, we've seen from British Airways more seats on their aircraft as part of a relaunch of the British Airways short-haul product, and this has driven significant growth on Europe. And in terms of long haul, we now have eight airlines operating 380s at Heathrow. By the end of the year, we'll have 25 frequencies a day to 14 destinations. In terms of regional growth, we've continued to see strong growth in the Middle East, reflecting increased capacity. We've seen strong growth to China, 14% passenger growth. We've seen more flights to China from British Airways, Air China and China Eastern. Although our frequencies to China are lower than some of our competitors, and this is one of the reasons why expansion is so important to us and to UK connecting to global growth in the longer term, because we need to keep up and ahead of our European competitors. We have 52 weekly flights to China at the moment, whereas Paris, for example, has 74. So we need to close that gap. And in other regions, Latin America, we've seen some growth with Avianca launching a new service to Bogota. Of course, Vietnam Airways moved from Gatwick to Heathrow in March. And so we're expecting traffic to continue to be strong, and we're now forecasting around 75 million passengers this year using Heathrow, which would be a growth of around 2.5% on last year. Turning to slide five, you can see how the capacity constraints are holding back our growth. Our growth has been creditable given our constraints. We are 98.5% full in terms of aircraft movements. But you can see how the world's changing, and we've recently added Istanbul to this chart, so they're now actually the fourth biggest hub in the region, and they've been growing at 10% a year. Moving on to slide six, passenger satisfaction. As I mentioned before, we're very pleased to see this continued trend of improving passenger satisfaction and us rising up the rankings. And as I said before, we are rated the best in the major airports in Europe. And you can see that our passenger satisfaction is an all-time high, with a record 82% of passengers rating Heathrow as excellent or very good. And we're going to continue to increase our service focus in terms of how we engage with our colleagues at the airport and how we invest in the assets to raise standards towards the levels achieved by the world's very best airports. And turning on to slide seven, looking a little bit more about service transformation, we've made a number of improvements to our security processes, which helps our passengers get through the airport in a faster and more enjoyable fashion. Parallel loading security lanes is something we've talked about. We have invested significantly in our baggage facilities that are more automated, enabling more early bag store and improving our transfer product. And of course, transfer and connecting passengers are very important to us as a hub airport. And we've been investing in our retail offering in all terminals, but especially in Terminal 5 recently, where we've seen some good improvements. And most recently, we've completed the installation of 15 new electronic e-gates, passport gates in Terminal 5, which means we now have 40 of such gates across the airport. Another important aspect of investing in service is around efficiency and resilience of the airport, which goes to our ability to deliver a good punctuality. We've delivered more stands, wider taxiways for A380s. That's very important, so these aircraft can manoeuvre their way around the airfield in the most efficient and flexible way possible. We've introduced, I think, the first airport in the world to introduce time-based separation on windy days, which allows us to land more flights in those conditions. And most recently, over the summer, we've introduced an enhancement to our instrument landing systems, which again provides greater resilience in poor visibility conditions. We can land more aircraft in those conditions than we were previously able to. We've completed this on two of our four approaches to the runways, and the remaining two will be upgraded next summer. I just want to talk briefly about environmental impact at the bottom of slide seven. We do take our environmental obligations extremely seriously, and I'm happy to say that we have been making very good progress. In June, we were actually awarded by ATR Europe as the eco innovator among all the European airports, and particularly commended for our progress on reducing emissions from the airport, as well as other features such as we've had the world's largest single-site car sharing scheme, for example, and an unrivaled public transport system. We're doing a lot of work to reduce the noise impact of the airport on our local communities. We've recently begun trials around steeper landing approaches, which has been used at other airports. And that's just one of 10 steps that we've published through our blueprint for noise reduction to help improve the noise climate around Heathrow. And Heathrow is actually quieter today than it has been since the 1970s. And even with expansion, by 2030, there will be fewer people affected by noise than there are today. And moving on to slide nine and the financials. So we have continued to have a strong operating performance. EBITDA, as I said, up 4.4%. Growth across all revenue streams and underpinned by good cost control. You can see on this slide that our debt position is similar to last year's levels, and we expect this to broadly remain the same at the end of 2015. A little bit more detail on revenue on slide 10. We have seen a 4.1% rise in our revenues, 40 million of that from aeronautical revenues, 2.3% from traffic growth, and 1% from a change in the headline tariff this year, offset slightly by the net effect of the absence of capital triggers this year and the non-repeat of 2014's K factor. But overall, 3% growth in aeronautical revenues. Our retail performance is good, with net retail income per passenger up 5%. So that's driven a 6% increase in retail income on a 2.3% traffic growth. And, you know, we've had a lot of initiatives around retail, most particularly luxury retail in Terminal 5, where we have shops like Louis Vuitton, Fortnum & Mason adding to our offering. We've recently reopened a refurbished World Duty Free in Terminal 5, and we'll be opening a new Chanel store in December. And from the other aspect of retail that's been doing well is car parking revenues, where we've been benefiting from increased space. We opened a new Terminal 5 business car park in February, and we've seen higher occupancy rates, and we've also improved our product range. Some of you may be familiar with the pod parking that we have in Terminal 5, also the short stay car park, but also meet and greet and valet parking. So more products is driving improved commercial performance in car parking. Moving on to page 11, continued focus on cost efficiencies. Reported costs, as shown on the chart, are up 3.7%. At the first half of the year, they were up 5.5%. So we're seeing, as we predicted, a flattening and, in fact, a slight reduction in underlying costs in Q3, and that will continue through to Q4. So full-year reported costs will be up around 2.5%. But when you strip out the effect of Terminal 2, which opened halfway through last year, Terminal 3 baggage facility, which opened in March this year, costs relating to expansion, and then you net off the impact of Terminal 1 wind-down. So looking at costs on an underlying basis, you see costs, that's about a $30 million adjustment, you see costs actually down, and that is the effect of our underlying changes that we're making to our workforce, to pretty much all of our contracts that we've renegotiated over the last couple of years, as well as significant savings around things like energy, consumption and price. So I mentioned earlier that we've formalised now the changes around our defined benefit pension schemes with a positive result from our unions who voted in favour, and then agreement with our trustees. That's all been formalised now in the trust deed, and we've been able to move forward with that. So the P&L savings will start from Q4 this year. We also, you may have noticed in the results, a significant non-cash one-off credit in exceptional items of £236 million, which just reflects a reduction in our pension liabilities. So we're now moving into a valuation, an interim valuation with our trustees, and all being well, we'll be able to change our cash contributions accordingly from, sometime towards the end of next year or potentially the beginning of 2017. Just one sort of final thing on cost savings is that we've seen very good take-up for our voluntary severance program, especially in our security operation. We expect around 250 officers to have left the business. And this, coupled with ongoing attrition and a new starter package, which is around 25 to 30% lower than existing terms, means that we are seeing a lower cost operation and more flexible working practices, which is important given the sort of peakiness of our operation at times. So all of this means that we are making good progress towards our £600 million target for the settlement, the Q6 settlement. And, you know, we will be continuing to focus on this in an environment where low inflation is putting some pressure on our revenues. So moving on to slide 12 and operating cash flow, you can see that we've generated around £1.2 billion of cash from our operations, which has offset pretty much all of the capex, the interest costs and dividend payments this year. Capex is obviously down this year on what it's been in previous years, so we're cash generative after capex and net interest paid. And this continues a trend that you will have seen since 2014 and should continue for the rest of this regulatory period. And as I said earlier, we do expect our net debt to be broadly consistent with forecast and similar to the level at the end of 2014. And then moving on to slide 13, where we talk a little bit about gearing ratios and the buffer that we hold to our triggers and covenants, which we're very much maintaining. There's a slight increase in gearing since the half year, since the beginning of the year, which reflects the impact of the low inflation environment on our regulatory asset base, which has been broadly flat since the 2014 year end. It also reflects the lower capex compared to depreciation. But, you know, we're comfortable that we have a very strong focus on capital management, and, you know, we can manage the effects of the low inflation environment on our gearing. Really just 2 points on that. Firstly, we do have substantial headroom to the trigger and covenant levels across our different tranches of debt. So at the Heathrow Finance level, for example, we have around £700 million of headroom. Secondly, the funds that we've been raising at different levels of our capital structure, Class B and Heathrow Finance, mean that we can dynamically manage our gearing across the different levels of the structure. And moving on to slide 14, we have raised this year, as I said earlier, £1.2 billion in it's been very encouraging response to our fundraising, around £800 million in two public bond issuances, €1, $1 Canadian, £300 million in private placements, and £100 million in Heathrow Finance loans. And at the same time, we've had a couple of Heathrow funding bonds maturing in the middle of the year. There's a couple more transactions we've completed over the summer, but overall, overall, you know, we remain very encouraged by the continued strong global support for the Heathrow credit, and this does also give us great confidence in the context of financing the expansion. And for those of you who've read the Airport Commission report, you'll also have seen that the Airport Commission and PwC, who are the expert in this area for the Airports Commission, were of the same view. So just to summarise on this section before I talk a little bit about the strategic update, I'm on slide 15 now. We've had a strong performance. Our service and operational performance has been encouraging. We have had some of our busiest days ever. High passenger numbers, good cost control, good retail initiatives have driven an increase in EBITDA. At the same time, we've managed to keep our service levels at very high levels, and we remain the best major airport in Europe. We are mindful of the impact on our revenues from the low inflation environment, which is why we continue to focus on further efficiencies across all the business to make sure that we do indeed beat the plan. And in terms of our full year outlook for 15, we're expecting EBITDA to be around 1.6 billion. Following the strong traffic growth in the summer, we're expecting, as I said earlier, traffic to be around 75 million passengers. That's slightly higher than we indicated at the half year. So we may see a small outperformance in EBITDA for the full year. I think around 1.6 billion is the right sort of level to be thinking about. So turning now onto slide 17 and just a couple of minutes on the strategic review, on the strategic update, if you like. Similar formats we've used before. We have clearly, you know, four strategies, one around Mojo, which is all around engaging our colleagues and ensuring that everyone is motivated within our teams, transforming service, beating the plan and winning support for expansion. In terms of in our engagement of our colleagues, we've launched a Saver plan at Heathrow, which rewards our people for the part they play in helping us achieve our targets. We're very pleased to say that we're sponsoring the Duke of Edinburgh scheme as one of their diamond partners. I think one of their only four diamond partners in their 60-year jubilee. So this is very kind of important. We're very proud to be doing that. From a customer service point of view, I've talked about the changes we've made to security and the e-gates. We've also putting a lot of effort, especially over the summer period, into helping our passengers through the airport and taking the stress, if you like, out of heading off on holiday. So some of that's been quite small things around families and free restaurant meals for kids, or even in one case a campaign around acknowledging that one's children have an imaginary friend that needs to pass through security. So these kind of small touches, quite endearing touches, that I think traditionally we wouldn't associate with Heathrow, but are, I think, doing a great job to sort of change the views of Heathrow as a place to travel, and consequently we are seeing the record numbers of people travelling through the airport. The focus for the future is very much, you know, more of the same, expanding and improving the customer offering through the airport. Smoother transfers is a particular focus. We have around 35 to 40% at times of our passenger traffic is connecting, so ensuring those transfers either within Terminal 5 or between terminals, Terminal 3 to Terminal 5, for example. There's automation continuing within the Terminal 3 baggage facility, and improving on things like fast track capabilities within our terminals for those premium passengers. All very important initiatives. In terms of Beat the Plan, in addition to the existing initiatives, we will be focusing on further workforce efficiencies, as there's a lot more we can still do in that space. We're expanding our retail offering. I mentioned Chanel as well, and we're continuing to work on different offerings with our retail partners. And now just expansion. I'll just talk a little bit about expansion before concluding. So I'm now on slide 18. A strong momentum for expansion. So just a quick recap on where we are. You'll remember that during the summer, the Airports Commission, Sir Howard Davis, published his report, and it was a unanimous and unambiguous recommendation in favour of our proposal for the Northwest Third Runway at Heathrow. And since then, or shortly after that, in fact, the Prime Minister committed that the government would be providing response by the end of the year. So that process is ongoing, and we are confident of a response, and we're confident that, you know, Heathrow will be the chosen option. Assuming a positive response, the process for planning consent should then take to around 2019, so 4 to 5 years, where we then aim for approval by the Secretary of State. Just a reminder, the scheme is estimated to cost around £16 billion. That includes runway expansions to Terminal 5, so effectively a new terminal building, a new satellite, baggage and passenger transit facilities, plus funding for community compensation, land purchase, sustainability. So there's a multi-part this sort of major project. In terms of funding timing, however, we do not expect our funding needs to substantially change until planning consent is obtained. So that's around 2019-2020. And then at that point, we can begin construction, and we would anticipate a phased investment over a 10-year period in 2020, but with the runway opening and being operational from 2025, so we can get the benefits from expansion as soon as possible. And then some of the terminal, the additional terminal infrastructure, would follow in the latter half of the decade. However, whilst we await for the government response, we are gearing up for the planning consent process so that we're absolutely ready to go. We're engaging with our local communities. We've been engaging in some quite practical steps, such as starting traffic surveys, which is something we need to do as part of planning. We've been engaging with our supply chain in quite a formal way, not just to secure the expertise we need, but also to plan the skills we'll need once we start building. So we absolutely want to start building by 2020, open the runway in 2025. Just to conclude, therefore, on slide 19, I just wanted to really reiterate the three elements of the Heathrow credit story, which have been in place for some time and absolutely apply today as much as they did before and also will in the future in relation to expansion. First of all, the strong and resilient asset. I think the Airport Commission acknowledged the strength of Heathrow from a financing perspective, as I mentioned earlier, recognising our fundamental business strength and also at the scale of the financing that we've been able to achieve and undertake over the last decade. They also acknowledged the role of Heathrow in terms of delivering UK growth, and how we can deliver up to 40 new long-haul destinations with expansion. That's a 50% increase on long-haul destinations today. So very strong, resilient asset, and remain so, in fact become even more so with expansion. A stable regulatory framework. We are very much supportive of RABA-based regulation, and we believe that stable regulation is key to supporting long-term investment. Having looked carefully at how we believe we should finance expansion, we are of the view that the existing structure remains appropriate, and we would therefore expect a single RAB and a single financing platform that has shown scalability. Remember that we've trebled the size of the RAB from 5 billion to 15 billion over the last decade, and we've raised the funding to support that. We have a funding platform that has global reach in six currencies in both the public and the private markets. And really, the final thing to say around the financing sort of platform that we have is that it is absolutely our intent to continue to target our current investment grade credit ratings. And within that context, we have absolutely the strong backing of our seven shareholders, who are very well funded, and some of the world's, contain indeed some of the world's leading sovereign funds and some of the world's leading infrastructure funds as well. So we are ready to get going on expansion. We're waiting for the government response by the end of the year. We think it's a great opportunity for Britain. We think we have an absolutely key role to play in connecting Britain to global growth, whether that's to China, as I said before, where we need to serve as many destinations as we can, or Asia or Africa or South America. And it's not just about passengers, also about trade and exports. We're the largest port already in the UK by value. We'll be seeking to double our size on expansion, and a project which will deliver £211 billion of value and 180,000 jobs all across the UK, Scotland, Northern and the North, and Wales and South West. So we're very we're ready, and we're very keen to just get on with it, really. So I should pause there and open it up to you, if you're still with us, for any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now in order to enter the queue, and then after I announce you, simply ask your question. And if you find that question has been answered before it's your turn to speak, just press 0 and then 2 to cancel. And there'll be a brief pause while questions are being registered. Once again, if you have any questions, could you please press 0 and then 1 on your phone keypad now to enter the queue, and there'll be a further pause while any questions are being registered. Michael, at this stage, there seems to be no questions in the queue today, so may I please pass the call back to you?
Okay, thank you, Hugh. Well, thank you very much, everybody, for dialing in. I hope that was helpful. Obviously, we are contactable at any time to answer questions that you may have, both me and Andrew and thank you for calling. And obviously, I'm sure we'll speak to many of you in due course. But thank you. Thank you, Hugh.
This now concludes the call. Thank you all very much for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.